The first reading can be found on page 1092 of the Pew Bibles and 1925 of the large print version. The reading is from Acts 1, verses 1 to 5. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel can be found on page 1089 in the Church Bibles, or page 1922 in the large print version. Our reading is from John 20, 24 to 31. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put the finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Amanda. So as I begin, a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning we're beginning a series in the book of Acts, so it may be useful for you to have your Bible open at page 1092. When reading something, a newspaper article, a report, or perhaps a book, it's often a good idea to know something about the writer. It helps us to put what we're reading into perspective or context. The early church very quickly accepted the author of Luke's Gospel as the author of the book of Acts, which means that this man, Luke, contributed over a quarter of the text of the New Testament, more than any other author. He was probably a Gentile, i.e. not Jewish, possibly from Greece. Luke wasn't one of Jesus' 12 apostles or original disciples, so he wasn't an actual eyewitness to Jesus' ministry. But he was personally with the Apostle Paul for a good portion of his missionary journeys. Looking at the details of his writings, for example, details about seafaring, geography, politics, medicine, or daily life, they compare very favourably with current historical and archaeological knowledge. So Luke was an accurate and reliable historian. In his letters, the Apostle Paul describes Luke as a dear friend, a fellow worker, a doctor, and the only one who remained with him in Rome. The book of Acts is a story of the growth of the early church. In it, we will read the amazing account of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the early disciples, like a mighty wind and tongues of fire. Then the spread of the gospel, first mainly through Peter, and then primarily through Paul. The book of Acts is an exciting story of supernatural, miraculous events. And it's a hard story of human perseverance, suffering, and persecution, as many of those first disciples are killed. It's also a story of redemption, as thousands upon thousands come into the knowledge and freedom of Jesus Christ. The places, the people, and events sometimes come at a machine gun rate, as Luke condenses 30 years into 28 chapters. And so the history that he gives us is necessarily selective as he relates these key events. He begins Acts with a very brief reminder of his gospel. He can't spend long on it because he's got so much more that he needs to write. As with his gospel, Luke addresses the second volume to someone named Theophilus. Theophilus may have been an actual person. Or, as Theophilus means friend of God, Luke may simply be writing generally to God-loving readers. It doesn't really matter. I like to think that as each friend of God down the ages has picked this book up to read it, they have seen themselves as the friend of God to whom it is directly addressed. So now we come in our turn to pick up the book that Luke has addressed to you and me, and we begin to read. Verse 1. Dear friend of God, in my gospel I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. All that Jesus began to do and teach. It seems clear that Luke regards the events recorded in his gospel as the beginning of Jesus' work. Although Jesus had returned to heaven, that wasn't the end of his work. Luke declares at the outset of Acts that the story continues, and the underpinning presence of Jesus as Lord and King runs through the whole book, not as some vague idea, but as a living, powerful reality. A real person who can be known and loved and obeyed and followed. Luke is keen that we grasp two things that are fundamental, not only to the whole book of Acts, but to his view of the world. First, everything is based on the resurrection of Jesus. He says, after his suffering, Jesus presented himself to his disciples and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. The Gospels tell us that the disciples had seen Jesus crucified by Roman soldiers who knew how to crucify people. They were so sure of his death that they had begun to scatter and go home. But now they have seen the risen Jesus eat and drink and walk and talk. He even allowed his disciples to touch him to examine his wounds. It was essential that they knew without a doubt that Jesus was alive, because the mission of taking the gospel to the world would need their utmost commitment, even the cost of their own lives. But Jesus was not only alive, he was even more alive than he had been before. And he was even less subject to the laws and constraints of the physical world than before. He could appear and disappear, even through locked doors. Jesus is not caught between two worlds, the physical world of earth and the spiritual world of heaven. But as Lord of all, he is equally, powerfully, and legitimately sovereign in and over both. The resurrected Jesus is the beginning of the new reality that is prophesied through the whole Bible. Luke emphasizes that the resurrection of Jesus, who died under the weight of the world's sin, is the foundation of God's renewed and perfected world. The second big thing that Luke wants us to grasp is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke will have much more to say about the Holy Spirit in subsequent chapters, but it's so important to him that he mentions it now right up front. Verse 4. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is coming. The Father has promised him, the Son has spoken about him. Jesus told his disciples in John's Gospel, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." At this point, the disciples have no idea what's about to hit them. But Jesus gives some clues. It will be a gift or blessing from the Father, so they know it will be good. It's so important they must wait before they do anything else. And they know that it will be something like John's baptism in water. "For John baptized in water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Now, in the same way that John the Baptist pointed to the much greater reality of Jesus Christ, John's baptism in water points to the much greater baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, to try to understand baptism, we can, somewhat bizarrely, find a clue in a 2,200-year-old recipe for making pickles. It was written about 200 BC by a Greek doctor named Nicander. Nicander says that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should first be dipped into boiling water and then baptized in vinegar. The act of baptism is about steeping, about soaking and infusing. It produces a permanent change. Now, as significant as the event of our baptism in water is, the important thing for us as Christians is our ongoing immersion in the Holy Spirit. Through regular prayer, through regular reading of God's word, by being among other Christians. I wonder, are we allowing ourselves to be soaked in the Holy Spirit in order that we are permanently changed by the Holy Spirit to become more and more like Jesus Christ? Because baptism isn't about a past one-off event, but a present ongoing effect. The book of Acts has been called the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, and even the continuing works and deeds of Jesus Christ by his Spirit through his apostles. But it has also been described as the book without an end. The biblical book closes with the Apostle Paul under house arrest in Rome. But since then, countless chapters could have been written, involving countless Christians who have taken the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. Chapters of equal heroism and suffering as these first 28 chapters. Even now, around the world, Christians are still suffering and dying as they seek to bring the Jesus' good news of love to the world. And even now, around the world, more and more Christians are being added to Christ's church. And this morning, we celebrate the beginning of a new chapter as we welcome Kip, and he begins his journey. This story has not ended. To be continued.